hands. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Dude, that's a great reference. Welcome to another episode of The Back Porch. My name is Grant. I'm a pastor of First United Methodist Church of Grapevine, Texas. And this is a little podcast we do where we talk about the Bible. We talk about interesting things going on. Hopefully some of it's fun and entertaining, and some of it might even be edifying and educational. I am a pastor of community building, of electricity, and other stuff. Basically, general nonsense falls under me, yours truly. I am joined by only two out of three of my co-hosts, but we are going to do our best to make it through the day without our star. To my left over here is the pastor of discipleship, which means just growing in your faith, cradle to grave, growing closer to God, closer to the people around you, and to be a better person. It's like citizenship, really, if you think about it. And I think that's incredible. Carly's very meticulous, very intelligent, and usually a little bit judgmental of the compliments that I pay her on this podcast. So, Carly Payne!
Hello!
How are you?
I'm a little sleepy, but I'm good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why are you sleepy?
Because we had a Bible study last night.
You were up here late?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
I'm sleepy, but...
Yeah.
I had a lot of coffee.
Done. So, there you go.
There you go. Which means the afternoon will be useless. So, but you're having an okay week?
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Good.
Getting
good
a lot of stuff done, getting to talk to a lot of people, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a busy one already.
Yeah. Sunday schools are back, and so that's been fun getting to see them and talk to them about what they're doing and what they hope to accomplish, and so.
It's funny to walk through the church on a Sunday and see people and be shocked, because we've been in the building without other humans for over a year, and now there are people in here.
Yeah,
and it's nice. Different. Oh, it's very nice. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It feels great. But it's still, oh my goodness. Who are all these people? Well, thank you, Carly. Mm-hmm. So glad you're here with us today. And sitting in an unusual place on a different side of the room is my good buddy, the Chevrend, the pastor of missions, of family ministries. He's a chef, he's a recruiter, he's a broadcaster. He is everything that you need and more. Reverend Chef Alan Lutz.
It's like I should have some walk-up music after that.
Bump, bump, bump. What would your walk-up music? I instantly went to Van Halen for some reason, because I don't know.
That goes, I go sense. Back to high school, and the walk-up music for the basketball team was Back in Black by AC/DC, so...
Bun, ba-na-na. Yeah, that'd be good.
Which, by the way, was recently voted the third best guitar riff of all times by Guitar Magazine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I think of Back in Black every time I put my robe on to have to go to traditional service.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
You want to guess which one was voted number one?
Number one, Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin, right?
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Ba-na-na-na.
Give me Page.
Dun, dun. Yeah. I know. It's,
well done. I mean, we started with the silliness right off the top.
Right off the bat. Yeah. But now, I'm sorry. I can't live without this. What was number two?
I'd have to, oh gosh, see? I know one and three, but I don't.
Pull up your cellular telephone there and let us know.
Stand by.
So we will begin stepping towards our serious business while he is doing that little important research for us. So one of the things we do in here is we walk through the Bible. And we've done, if you go back to past episodes, we walk through like an entire book at a time, hitting the high points, talking about the characters. But now we're starting to add a little bit of supplemental information to the previous week's scripture. They're kind of following along the sermon series.
The future scripture.
Future?
Yeah.
Oh, we are in the future.
Yeah.
But last night we were in the past.
Yeah, and today we're in the future.
Yeah, and but I feel like Doc Brown in Back to the Future.
I feel like Spaceballs, but what about then? Then is now.
Then is now.
Well, yeah. Do you want to talk about...
We'll get to last night.
Okay.
Or last week, whenever you hear this. And so we talk about... But basically, we follow along with the sermon series... What we're talking about. And we know that you are in your car. You're on the elliptical machine using both hands and both legs. Well, hopefully you use both hands and both legs in your car because that means you drive a manual transmission the way God intended. Or doing other things like working in the yard, mowing the lawn. You don't have time to pull out your notebook, read it for yourself. So we just kind of talk about it, being aware of your situation, and then you can go back and read it when you have a chance. And hopefully we've added a couple of extra thoughts to the experience for you. This week we are talking about Paul. So we're kind of, as we're going through the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Early Church, we are sticking to like big characters that you introduce because there are a lot of different people involved in this. So we've picked a few to focus on, and this week we're talking about a really big one, which is Paul. He wrote most of the books in the New Testament and traveled the world. This is very interesting character, but we talk about his conversion experience. But first, before we do that, Alan, the number two greatest rock and roll riff?
Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne, written by Rhodes.
Nice, nice, yeah. Da-no-na-no-na-no-na-no, yeah. I just realized, I've done the other two. I have to do that one too.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's a good one. We'll play all these for you later. You will not enjoy any of them.
We're going to force you. All right. Yeah, we're going to lock the door and force you to listen to these guitar riffs.
Yeah.
You can go through the whole top 10 list. Really make your day.
Oh, my goodness. So the book of Acts chapter 9 tells the story of the conversion of Saul is his name, and he's converted to Paul. If you remember, as we were talking last week, he's a character in the background of the story of Stephen. This guy is he's a Jew who's a trained Pharisee. He is dedicating his life, essentially, to hunting down these Christians because he thinks they're blaspheming against his tradition. It's threatening his way of life, and so he's taking action and doing something about it. And, yeah, he's just a violent, bad person who's giving permission to hunt people down. So he's turned into a bounty hunter, if you will. And so he's there holding the coats while Stephen is getting stoned to death. And he's on his way to Damascus. Now, Damascus is in modern-day Syria. And the road to Damascus is, he's basically going from Jerusalem northeast to Damascus. And it is there he sees a bright light, and it's God speaking to him, saying, "Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing me?" Depending on which translation, one of these words. So, all right. Do you have something to add to it as I was running through that?
I don't have anything to add to this story. I think it's an interesting story. I used to get the road to Damascus and the road to Emmaus mixed up because they're both places. It's in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. But this road to Damascus is this sudden shift in Paul's life. And I think it's interesting to think about, he wasn't just neutral and then he experienced God and he became this like champion for Christ and following Jesus. But he was actively going against the Jesus movement. And so I think it's not just neutral to good, it's bad to good. And I think that just makes it a little bit bigger of a shift.
Yeah, he's not just on the sidelines.
Yeah.
He's playing for the other team. Like, he's straight up a murderer.
Yeah.
That is pretty significant. What did you say you get the road to Damascus and what confused?
The road to Emmaus. Like, when they're walking to Emmaus, just because I can't remember geographical locations.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And people are walking on a road.
So check out a map if you're listening, whenever you get a chance to look at it and you can see. But of course, if you know anything about the region, you know, Emmaus is basically a suburb of Jerusalem, if you will, or would have been, you know, the exact location, uncertain because things change. But Damascus is a real city, really exists, and there's real people there. And I was wondering, so it's mentioned in this as the story continues that Saul, when he gets to Damascus, I think it's Paul, is staying on a place called Straight Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, I do not know. Haven't looked it up yet. Is that a real place still? I mean, it was a real place. I just mean, is there still a straight street? I'm curious, so I'm going to go look that up. I don't know.
Interesting.
Tell us what happens on Straight Street.
Who, me?
Yeah.
All right, so God, in the meantime, while this is happening on the road to Damascus, appears to a dude named Ananias, and he says to him, Ananias, and he says, yes, Lord. I love that because it's kind of contrasting the response of, like, what is this bright light talking to me? Ananias doesn't have to ask. Yes, Lord. And he says, there's a man. He's on Straight Street. He's staying at whose house is he staying at? Basically, he gives very specific instructions to Ananias to go find Saul, lay hands on him, and pray over him. And he basically said, Saul's already seen in a dream that a dude named Ananias, so it's God speaking to him, speaks of him in third person, like right there, will come and pray over him. Ananias goes, I hear you. I know who you are. I know you're talking to me. I know that you're creator of the universe, my Lord and Savior. But I also know who Saul is. He was sent here to kill me and my buddies. I'm currently hiding out because I knew he was coming. And you are telling me to go into the room with a murderer who has my picture and put hands on him. And Jesus is like, yeah, go do it. So he does. And he goes, finds Saul, lays hands on him, prays over him, scales fall off of his eyes, and he begins recovering his strength, it says. So he eats and recovers his strength. And he stays there, learning, like being blessed by the rest of this Christian community there in Damascus. And word gets back to headquarters that Saul has been converted to Paul. And so they send people go kill him. Like, oh, you think it's that easy? No. And these same people who were scared of him, that he was technically on the road to Damascus to go and murder, they lower him out of the city in baskets to save his at night, to save his life. So they risk their lives to save the person who was there to kill them. It's a lot of pronouns, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Trying to think what to say about that.
Actually, as I just said it out loud, like in my own words, it's such a crazy story. And there's so much going on in that moment. To think of like all the turmoil and conflict and just, yeah, going on in their hearts as they're, these unnamed people who were there. Like, feeding him, taking care of him, hiding him. Like, that's a... I don't know, this is such an interesting journey that they were on. Mm-hmm. And to be a part of his ministry. You know, I think about that sometimes. These unnamed characters in the Bible. A lot of times with Paul, because you get the sense as he's writing and as you read the rest of the book of Acts that there's a crew traveling with him. Like, he's got an entourage, and some of them are named, and that's it. I assume there are others who aren't named. And, like, Paul wouldn't be able to travel the world sharing good news, establishing churches, without them. Like, without whoever is that nameless, super strong dude who's, like, the anchor of holding the rope down the basket, without that guy giving up his time and risking his life at night, to do that, like, Paul wouldn't have been able to have his ministry. And I you know, we often say, like, we all have a part. We really mean it. Like, Scripture really implies it, says it. Like, you've got a role to play. And even the small parts, like, that's super important. And this collaborative art project won't happen without your gift.
Mm-hmm. I think when I think about how humans work and how easy it is to hold grudges or, be against someone who's threatened you, it makes this story that much more miraculous that these people were able to have a change of heart, that they were so dedicated to following Christ that they are able to discern that God is speaking to them, telling them to help this guy. And so I think it also makes this story about Saul, Paul, hard to believe or hard to, unless you've had this dramatic conversion in your own life, and conversion, I mean, like, any sort of change. It makes it hard to really get into. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't sound certain of that.
Oh, no, it's extreme.
Yeah.
It's super extreme. Like, I've never wanted to... I've never been a murderer. I've never been a hired gun. I've never had those types of thoughts. And that's an extreme conversion.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going from someone that's, like, annoyed at that aside. Like, you're wanting to eradicate an entire group of people from the face of the earth. That kind of hatred is hard for me to wrap my head around, which makes this conversion that much stronger. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, I've never been the recipient of that, as far as I know. You know, I've never been in a group of people or an individual that others wanted to eradicate, that others wanted to kill. They wanted to kill me because of who I am or what I believe. And there have, yeah, so, and it's hard. And I know people who have been parts of that. I'm just not one of them. So we focus on the conversion of Saul here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just as miraculous is just what y'all been talking about, these smaller players. That were like, you know, I mean, because put yourself in the same situation. Hey, this guy wanted to kill you, but it's going to be okay. He doesn't want to anymore. Well, you know, the natural thing is like, yeah, I don't believe that. I'm out of here. Right? But no, they stuck. They stuck with it because they trusted God.
Yeah.
And trusting God to do the work that we can't do is probably the biggest part of this. And like scales off the eyes, like being able to see things anew, that's a change of heart. That's actually something I have prayed for people that I know are hurting and are in those situations, people that are so consumed by hate and so consumed by the politics of the day or whatever it is that it's clouding their relationship with God. That's a prayer that I have had for people that I love, is let the scales be taken off of their eyes so they can see you, God, and not what's burning their hatred.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What did that, to respond in reverse, I think we ought to pray for ourselves and for, you know, everyone.
Sure.
As well. I mean, because,
you know, I pray for myself too.
Yeah.
I mean, trust me.
It's that, and I do love that image of this and the idea that Paul had scales on his eyes until they prayed over him. You know, as in God clearly did all the work with this miraculous light and calling out to him. Still then said, all right, I'm bringing in other people to be involved. And so again, going, still working backwards, my response to you, whereas yes, this story is incredible and it can be hard to believe, but at the same time, I don't really struggle a lot to believe it because I've seen it. Yeah, it wasn't me, but I've been on the sidelines of God transforming people's lives, and I got to be there. I don't know, on the sidewalk as the parade goes by. And so I know it happens. And there's countless stories of, you know, God working through people. And I've gotten to a point where just every week we open up our doors or we turn the cameras on. Yeah, I kind of expect that each time God's going to send somebody in here that God's already been working on. And, you know, we just get to pray over them, or I don't know. I haven't let anyone down over a wall yet. But, you know, when it comes, it comes. I believe in it because I've seen it. And I think God's still about the business of doing this. But, yeah, the stakes have changed. I don't think that a murderer is going to walk in and then after that travel the world establishing a ton of churches. I don't expect it to be that extreme. But at the same time, we do get to see it. You know, I don't want to give too many details on air, but actually Carly and I were talking about the scripture the other day in a public place, and about 30 seconds later, someone, a perfect stranger, started talking to us because we're pastors, who at that moment was praying out to God and saying, God, I need help, I need to get back to faith, I need to get back to church. Like, literally happened right as we're talking about this, about God leading people in your path. And I think the challenge for most of us, not all of us, is someone listening who is on the road to Damascus. I just believe it. I just believe there is. Whether it's this week or whenever they stumble across this. Or I hope, I should say, that God trust us with that. You know, I think the challenging part for us is to be willing and able. Yeah, you know, I like Ananias' response. I don't see it as a, I ain't doing it. It's not like Jonah, like, nah, I ain't going there. I'm going the other way. It just says, God, just to be clear, that dude came all the way just to kill me. That's a long way to go on foot. He seems pretty determined. I would rather not be in a room with him. But then he still gets up and goes. And that's an amazing amount of faith. And I pray that God shows us how to be ready for when the time comes. Does that sound nuts?
No, I don't think it sounds nuts. I think it's a good perspective to have on this scripture. Never mind. I don't know.
That's okay. Or you can go ahead and say it and we can edit it out.
No, I really don't know.
Oh, okay.
That may be the most important thing that you said today. Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these are hard to wrap to not... This one isn't one of the more difficult ones, but it's hard to relate to. And it's okay to not know how you feel. Wrestle with it. Read it. Be in it. Talk about it. Pray about it. I mean, that's why we do this.
Well, I'm already thinking and appreciating that there's a contrast in the excitement level. I'm looking at Carly that you and I bring to this passage.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, we're called to do two different jobs. Like, mm-hmm. I am called to go out and be there looking for people as they're coming in the door, you know, mm-hmm. whereas if we were to relate to characters in the book of Acts, you are like the people back at the mothership in Jerusalem at the, what is during the timeline on this book, that's the core of the church. That's the conference center. That's where they are, doing the work of growing and deepening and figuring out how they're going to do the organization of the church. You know, and so it just kind of matches with what God is still doing in our community today.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, and the same thing happens the other way around, where we'll come across stories in the book of Acts that, I won't say like I dismiss them, but it just doesn't stir as much inside of me because it's not the way God has called me to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that happens. There are 66 books in the Bible, written by dozens of people. There's something in here for everybody. Yeah. Do we have more to add to the story this week?
I think we've done a pretty good job talking about it.
All right. So read Acts chapter 9. I think there's... read the whole chapter.
There's lots of good stuff in 9.
Reads good stuff. Also, check out a map if you're curious about... If you just search, like, Road to Damascus map in your favorite search engine, you can see kind of, although I was talking with someone about this story, and someone made the corny joke, oh, if only they had a little road marker, kind of like when you cross the equator, like there's a sign, like here is where Jesus spoke to Paul. You get out of your car and have your picture taken. Like, nah, we don't know exactly where it is, but honestly, that stretch of road is not very long. So it's somewhere in there. Yeah. I find that interesting.
As do I.
So, all right, so we move along to the... before we get to nonsense, so traveling through time, back a few days for you and only one for me, Carly and I started our Bible study on this. We're doing it on Tuesday nights, 6:30, and we are going to try to record the audio of that. We tried last night. It did not work. We have technical problems sometimes. But we will be putting up that audio. And the format that we're going with is to dig a little bit deeper into these passages. And also, so that Carly is kind of leading us into how does this feed into our discipleship? Like, if we're to live into these texts, how do we apply it to our lives? And I'm... And my part of the hour is to give some background, some context to what's going on in the world around you, and just try to bring it to life, add a little bit of color to the pages. So, and this first week, I talked about, as you read the book of Acts, you read the whole thing, and you think just about, you just kind of picture for a second, the early church who are these people? These fishermen, rejects, misfits. How did they take this message about a Jewish carpenter and spread it all around the known world while people were trying to track them down and kill them? It sounds completely impossible. And then if you think, what about the ancient world? That makes it even harder because everywhere is, you know, someplace close is actually pretty far away. And one of the things that made it possible, and I won't go on for too long, is the Roman road system, which I just think is fascinating that really they had over 250,000 miles of road in their empire at their peak. And about 50,000 miles of that was paved with stones. And while some of those roads have been like covered up with modern roads, you can see a lot of mileage of ancient Roman roads still today, and they're still being used. You know, to speak of the durability of their construction project, it's pretty amazing. And they had a lot of rules and regulations and all these things kind of governing the way that the roads were made so that they would be functional and last. And this road system made it possible for Christianity to spread, because all of a sudden, you know, throughout history, it had been really hard to get around. And the Romans made it safe and easy to go from town to town to town. That's amazing. The fullness of time, this was there, and this made it available. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fascinating. Of course, I'm also speaking to people in their cars and on the elliptical machine using the internet, something that really hasn't existed for very long in time. And yet, yeah, we're getting to use it to share good news. I like to marvel at stuff like that.
It's fascinating. It really is. I'm not trying to be...
No. That's why I'm looking at you, Alan, and not Carly, because Carly's like, well, what she said last night was, well, they found it interesting. Yeah.
Well, and I'll be the special guest next week, because Carly will be at camp.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
So I'll find out what my role is after her part talking here.
Yeah. By that, I meant what we already talked about. And I don't want to tease too much of it, but you mentioned using a sermon that you've preached before on this topic. And so giving an opportunity for people to try to apply it to their lives.
Yep.
There goes my cellular telephone. Yeah, so doing that, I look forward to bringing that. Again, I'm intentionally not saying too much of it on here because I want people to either listen to the recording or even better, come and see it live.
That's right. Come see it.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So then, also before we get to the nonsense, mm-hmm. talk about some more church business, we've got a pretty important day coming up for the life of the church.
Yeah. On June 18th, which is a Friday, we're having a day of prayer, which is a day that we're going to have people praying throughout the day for the church. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got a lot of things that we can pray about. And so there's a prayer vigil. Well, I guess, I don't know if that's a right word.
I don't know. It's not an incorrect word.
Okay. Well, throughout the day, there's 30-minute slots where you can sign up to pray for those 30 minutes. We still have some spots open, and we'll add spots as needed.
Where can they find that information?
So you can find that on the website. You can find that on our Facebook page, on our Instagram page. So it's all there. Or just send me an email at carlyp@fumcg.org, and I will send it to you. So we've got that. And then from 6 to 7 p.m., we'll have a time of come-and-go prayer in the Founders Chapel on 422 Church Street. And at 6:30, we'll have just a brief service where we sing together, pray together. But we'll have our prayer labyrinth out, which if you've never done a labyrinth, it's like a maze that only has one direction. And it's, you can use it as a praying tool.
Just pictured a boy band in a big maze.
Why? I don't get it.
There's a band boy band with a lot of hair gel called One Direction.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm too tired.
With One Direction.
It is.
Yeah. No, Labyrinth. Okay. Yes, serious topics. Very important stuff.
Labyrinth will have prayer stations, so I think it'll be good. I think it it's something our church needs right now. It, with everything that's going on, it's a good reminder that prayer unites us as a body, and we're called to pray for one another. So 6 to 7 on the 18th, or sign up to pray throughout the day.
Or both.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
And even if you don't officially sign up, you can still pray. Spoiler alert, you can still pray for our church.
Yes.
And us and all of that.
Because God's not that OCD.
Right.
Like, wait a second. You didn't sign up.
Right. Yeah.
No, that'll be great. All right. Do we have any nonsense? We've done a good job of peppering nonsense throughout the podcast.
Well, one more plug for the final.
Yeah.
Before the summer break, we've got one more fundraising meal. And that is the fourth Monday of this month. And the orders are now open. This will be benefiting the Latvian village.
What are we eating?
Well, I've been told they have to be called Latvian meatballs. So we are having Latvian meatballs in a mushroom sour cream sauce over buttered noodles with a cucumber dill salad and an as-yet undetermined dessert that will be handmade by members of the village.
When is that again?
The fourth Monday of the month.
The fourth Monday.
Which will be the 28th.
So as a reminder, the concept is that night, and perhaps even the night after that, you don't have to cook. Remember when the pandemic started and super fancy restaurants to kind of keep going and to help all of us out, they would have these tin pans, these family-style meals to go that you could just drive up and pick them up. Well, we realized we love that idea, and that was fantastic. So we are plagiarizing it and doing that here. And you just order online, let us know whether you want the two-person or the four-person. And yes, it is about raising fun, but also it does help raise funds with a D, cash money, for really important missions. So you don't have to cook. You get to eat delicious food. As we mentioned at the top of the hour here, Alan is a chef, an award-winning chef, and he leads a surprisingly excellent team of people in the kitchen who prepare these meals, and so it goes to a good cause. You get to eat great food. It's just a win-win on all fronts. And kind of like with everything else, go to the social media, go to our website, give us a phone call, drop by the office, and we'll get you signed up, and you won't want to miss it.
It's also a good way to share. We have a lot of people at this church that order more meals than there are people in their household. And they do that because they bring food to their neighbors, to their friends, to all those types of people. So what a great way just to neighbor.
Yeah.
To use that as a verb.
What?
Yeah.
You can use neighbor as a verb?
Yeah.
Mm.
We should think about that.
Neighboring?
Yeah.
Wow.
And these will not be, by the way, frozen meatballs. They will be handmade from scratch.
Delicious.
By people in this room.
Award-winning chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Fun and funds. Also, Latvia is awesome, and I can't wait to go back. I hope that gets to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. That's serious, but we still made it nonsense. Do we have any actual nonsense to cover? I don't have any nonsense.
I'm out of nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm nonsensed out this month.
I'm just spewing nonsense everywhere I go. I'm breathing nonsense.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. So, do you have any nonsense, Carly?
Mm-mm.
Anything? Yeah, I got...
Carl's just trying to stay awake right now.
I got literally nothing. Yeah. All right. Well, if you have nonsense that you would like for us to talk about, something exciting and awesome going on, or a TV show, book, movie, sporting event that you recommend, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Until next week, we hope you have a great rest of your day, a great time out there. If you need someone to pray with you, if you want to talk, you got something on your mind, we really look forward to that, and we would love to hear from you. And I do mean all of you, and I'm looking at you that I haven't met yet. Though you couldn't pick me out of a lineup, I'm talking to you. We'd love to get together and love to be a part of your faith journey. So, like I said, if you've been listening this whole time, we're really excited. I'm really excited to be a part of the crazy things God's doing in your life. And so if you crash landed here on our podcast page, I've been waiting for you. So, so anyway, thanks again. And I'll go ahead and sign us off myself this time. Which, by the way, Monica, if you're listening, we miss you and hope you're being safe out there. And as always, my friends, go everywhere and eat everything. I can tell that-